I do want to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity. It's always an awesome thing to be asked to preach in this church, and I'm thankful for it. And I thank all you for showing up and being faithful to the house of God. So I would like to preach to you tonight about becoming a fisher of men, being a soul winner. This is a sermon I actually wrote a while back, and I've kind of added to it a little bit, but it's a sermon that I wrote to preach. A group of us being led by another brother, Nate, are going to the High Desert State Prison to preach there, and we have a church service there, and we went once, and we've been trying to go back up, and it just hasn't been working out, and I just found out today it's being canceled again, or postponed, I should say. So I thought, I'm going to preach this sermon one way or the other. So you guys are going to hear this sermon. I know a lot of you are soul winners, so don't tune me out, but you can learn. Anytime the Word of God's open, you can learn from it. But I also want you soul winners to know, if you haven't figured this out, we have a great opportunity. There's a great door that's been opened for us right now to preach the gospel, and that door might not always be there. So soul winning just isn't something we just repetitively do. We need to get excited about it. We need to get fired up about it. We need to get the next generation fired up about it, because we might not always have these freedoms. It might not always be as easy. Things don't stay the same. It's going to get tougher. So we need to take advantage of it now and get serious about it now. And, you know, if you're saved here tonight and you consider yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple, then you would want to fish for men. Why is that? Because you can't go very long without reading the Bible, especially the New Testament. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did when he was on this earth. Yes, he came and died for the sins of the world to give us salvation, that free gift of eternal life. Yes, and he set up his church to do what? To launch that great commission. And according to Matthew 28, that first part of that commission is to go and to seek and to save that which is lost, to fish for men. So look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Keep your spot in Matthew. We're going to be coming back to Matthew chapter 4. And we flip over, go with me to Mark chapter 1. It's one book over, Matthew, Mark, flip over to chapter 1, verse 14. The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus came into Galilee. Want you to notice, what was he doing? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." See, when Jesus started his ministry, this is what he did. He started going around and preaching the gospel. And when he began to preach, but you notice Jesus does preach repentance. And I'm not really preaching on repentance tonight, but it comes up and there's a lot of confusion on this. I don't know why that is. Jesus makes it crystal clear in these verses what biblical repentance is for salvation. So what does Jesus teach? Look at Mark 1:15. It says, Jesus said that you should repent and believe the gospel. What's the context of that? That you must change what you believe, or what you're trusting in. What are you putting your faith in to go to heaven? Jesus says, you have to put all that on me, not some of it. It's not cleaning up your life. It's not repenting of your sins. I think a lot of false Bible versions are creating this confusion as we go out and talk with people. And even though those are good things to do, they're not going to get you to heaven. It's changing your mind from not believing the gospel to believing it, removing anything that's preventing you, that keeps you from believing the gospel. And see, most false religions are promoting that, and it's causing great confusion. But it's clear that what repentance is for the gospel, that you have to change and you have to put all your faith on the gospel. What is the gospel? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel is that death, burial, and resurrection. I know you guys know that, but most people do not know that. And when I'm going to the prison, I'm going to preach that, because I know a lot of people in there are confused. They're getting so much false doctrine. Okay? And you can lose your spot in Mark. But yeah, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we see what Paul says the gospel is, what he was given. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, and by which also ye are saved. See, we are saved by the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. See, it's extremely important that we base doctrines like that on clear statements in the Bible and not unclear statements, not unclear questions or parables, but clear statements. And I just read you what the Bible calls the gospel, not what some man made up. Paul says, I didn't receive it of man. I received it from God, and that's what I'm preaching to you. Go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. So now that we know what the gospel is, Jesus says, you know what? If you're going to follow me, that's what you're going to preach. If you're going to follow me, you're going to be my disciple. You will go and preach the gospel. So number one tonight, becoming a fisher of men, and we've been hearing a lot about this, you must be reaching and teaching others. You must be doing that. You must be going, because this is what Jesus did, and pastors preach this to us many times, that you must be obviously reaching people, always doing that, striving to reach and teach, reach and teach. So Jesus was preaching the gospel to get people saved, yes, but not only was he doing that, we see in scripture here, we're going to read it, that as he was preaching the gospel, he was looking for others to help him fish for men. He was looking for others to come alongside of him and preach the gospel. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. See, Jesus doesn't say, you know, if you follow me, you know, long enough, you might just become a fisher of men. No, he said, you will become a fisher of men. So on the flip side of that, if you're here tonight and you're not fishing for men, guess what? You're not following Jesus. You're not doing what our master, if he is your master, you're not doing what he said. He didn't say that, you know, you have to follow me to be saved. He's saying that if you want to be a follower, if you wanted to be a disciple, he says, you need to follow and you should be fishing for men. And that's what disciples do, is it not? Aren't we looking, are we seeking to not only get people saved? Yes, it's a start, but to reach them. Don't you want them to come to church? Don't you want them to get baptized? Don't you want them to become what you are? Don't you want to regenerate yourself and continue on? Because this thing can continue on. And Verity is very focused on that. And a lot of churches are not focused on that. And you need to be thankful that you're sitting in a church that's focused on getting the gospel, reaching and teaching. Go to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 17, and we'll see, what did Jesus do? Yes, he went around preaching the gospel, but he was just constantly teaching people, constantly spending his time reaching and then teaching them. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Luke 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was, here it is, teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You're there in Luke 5, flip over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And look, Jesus, this is he, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Jesus was teaching, drop down to verse 22. Verse 22, and he went through the cities and villages. Here it is again. What was he doing? He's teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem, constantly teaching. And isn't that what we do? Look, the cities and villages, when we go out, we're bringing the gospel to them. Most people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and you're bringing it right to their door. We're going out as ambassadors. We're going out to seek and to save, and we're bringing it to them. And this is what Jesus did. And look, Jesus started with 12. He started with 12. Then he had 70. And by the book of Acts, when he's already went back to heaven, there was about 120 in that upper room that were fishing for men. It started out small, and look today, look at how many people are out fishing for men. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, Jesus understood something that we need to understand. That it's not just enough to go out and preach the gospel. Yes, he did that, but that wasn't enough. If Christianity was going to continue, and this goes along with the next generation youth rally, trying to get it to the next generation, Jesus understood that if when he left, if this thing was going to continue that he started, that he was going to have to reach people and teach people. He was going to have to do that to make sure when he was gone that it continued on. And everything we do as being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ should be reaching and teaching to grow his kingdom. You know, it's not our agenda. It's his agenda. And if you're following, you get on his agenda. Because, you know, who's going to continue the work when we're gone? You know, everyone in this room, as young as some of you are, you're going to be gone one day. If you're saved, you're gonna go to heaven, and your time to soul one will be gone. Your time to reach and teach will be done. It'll be over. That day is coming. It's just a moment in time that's coming. My time will be done. So what are we doing with the time we have, and who are we passing it down to that work continues? Because that's what the Lord wants. He wants Christianity to continue. He doesn't want it to die off. He says, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find it? Will his work, the thing that he started, will it be here? So why are some reasons? What are some reasons why people don't preach the gospel? Why a believer would not preach the gospel? I say probably fear. Fear is probably a good thing. You know, we're not supposed to have fear, but some people are really fearful about interacting with people, especially if you're newly saved, your fear of being rejected. I remember the first time I went from being a silent partner to knocking on the door. I was all like, please don't be home. Please don't be home. And then I'm all, why can't I just, this is my head I'm giving you guys right now. I was like, why can't I just leave it? Why can't I just leave it and go away? They'll find it. They'll read it. Because I was new. I didn't understand what the purpose was. There was some fear there. I wasn't filled with the Spirit. I was saved. I wanted to figure this thing out, but there was some fear there. Maybe it's pride. I ran into other Christians saying, you know, it's not my thing. That's a pastor thing. That's a deacon thing. It's not my responsibility to preach the gospel. That's a ministry thing. Maybe people are worried about what their family members think. Or maybe they have an unsaved spouse. Maybe they worry about that. Maybe you go to work and you're like, well, what'd you do? Everyone's talking about what they did over the weekend. Well, what'd you do? Well, you know, I went on Saturday, I knocked doors, and we, you know, try to get people to say the gospel. People are going to look at you kind of weird. Maybe you're worried about that. Oh, and what'd you do Sunday? Well, then I go to church. And what else did you do? Well, then I go to church at night. And, you know, then it starts sounding kind of weird to people, right? It sounds weird to the unsaved, but, you know, don't be ashamed of that. I mean, say it with positive, you know, are you doing well? I mean, they should see you. Right? We don't believe in lifestyle evangelists, but you shouldn't be like, man, yeah, I had to go to church. I just got to do it. Right? And you're like living this miserable life. You should have some joy where they say, well, why is this guy? I don't understand it. It should be peculiar to them. Right? Yeah. So people worry about that, but maybe you just, to be honest, maybe you're just lazy and you're complacent. I mean, we all get like that, but some people just don't get on board with God's program. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, don't miss it, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul was doing the same thing. He had Timothy. He's all, I'm going to one day, Timothy, I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish my race. I want to leave you. I want to prepare you. I want to pass down to you what was given to me. And see, Paul was looking for it. Jesus was looking for faithful people to teach, and you and I need to do the same. God is an investor. You can see that. He takes talents from one and gives it to another. You're not doing my will. I will take it from you and give it to someone who is. God is an investor in people. We need to be the same. We need to find people that want to be disciples, that want to get involved in this thing, and teach them. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. So number one, to become a fisher of men, you must be reaching and teaching others. But number two, to become a fisher of men, you must change direction. You must change direction. What's that mean? Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 20. Matthew chapter 4, verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. See, straightway, immediately, at once, these disciples, Peter didn't hesitate. And you see, once you're saved, you have a choice to make. You don't have to be a disciple. It's clear from the Bible, Jesus wants everyone to follow. He wants you to be a disciple. That's God's desire. That's his perfect will for your life. But you don't have to. You can be saved and not be a disciple. Jesus wants disciples. Do you want to be a disciple? You have to ask yourself that question. Do you want to be a follower? Do you want to be a student of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you're not a disciple, guess what? You won't be fishing for men. It's just not going to happen by accident. But with that, not everyone that is saved is a disciple. And not everyone that is a disciple is saved. They're not one and the same. A lot of people think they are. Just because you come to church, that doesn't make you a disciple. Turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 13, and we'll see that. We have an example of someone Jesus calls a disciple that he actually chose that was not saved. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. And in when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12 whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Turn to John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 70, and we'll see about Judas. Look at Judas in John chapter 6, verse 70. John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Verse 71, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being, look, one of the 12. Jesus chose him. Judas was never saved. Jesus wasn't saved and lost his salvation. Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning. But see, he was a disciple, according to the Bible, and he sat under Jesus' teaching. He followed him around. You realize that Judas was at the Sermon on the Mount. He got to hear that. An unsaved person that we know that he's reprobate, but look, he was there. He followed him around, and he was a disciple, but he was not saved. But with that, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Just like that, there are saved people who come to church every week and are not disciples. They might think they are, but they're not. Look at Romans 12. We'll see Paul deals with this with the church in Rome, chapter 12, verse 1. He's pleading with the brothers there that they should give their life to serve and to follow Christ. That's what they should do. That's God's will for them, that they should do that. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you. What's that? I beg you. Therefore, brethren, and look, if Paul calls them brethren, if he's calling them brothers, mark it down. He knows whether or not they're brothers. Paul, the Apostle Paul, knows whether these people are saved or not. And look what he's saying to these saved people. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How are we going to do that, Paul? Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's God's will for a saved person, that they would present their bodies a living sacrifice. And what's that mean? That means you're getting on God's program. You're following and doing the will of your master. You go back to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read for you at Ephesians chapter 2. And ye hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, when you got saved, you were still that way. But look, Paul's saying, wait, that's what you were. You don't have to walk in that way. You could be a disciple. You can follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be that way. And I want to change your direction. But you can be saved and still walk in that way. And I know everyone here knows that. But is that what you think is best? Do you think that's what God wants for you? If you're going to be a fishers of men, you're not going to be able to do that. See, the Bible tells us that Peter and Andrew were fishers. That was their job. That was their life. That was the direction. I'm sure they had plans. They go, we're going to grow this business and we're going to do this. And I'm sure they had a vision for their life, a direction for their families. And then when Jesus showed up and called them, he said, I'm going to change all that. I'm going to put you in a new direction. And to become a fisher of men, you're going to have to allow that. To become a fisher of men, you're going to have to allow Christ to change your direction. See, being saved is free. It's free. It doesn't cost you nothing. It costs God a lot. It doesn't cost us nothing. It's a free gift of eternal life. All you have to do is take it, and it's forever yours. But being a disciple, being a fisher of men, it's going to cost you something. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, there's some requirements for this. A lot of people try and take this, and they try and apply it to salvation when it's clearly talking about discipleship. Luke 14, verse 26, listen to this verse. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be saved. Is that what Jesus says? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you can't be saved. He says you cannot be my disciple. See, he doesn't link it to salvation. He said salvation's free. You don't have to follow to be saved, but you should. If you love him, you should follow him. He wants disciples. That's what Jesus wants. And he wants those disciples to produce fruit. See, Jesus showed up in their life and said, I'm going to change your direction, Peter. I'm going to change your direction, John. You had a vision. You had something that you wanted to do, but now you're going to come work for me. And if you and I are going to follow Jesus Christ, we're going to have to allow him to lead. Because guess what? If he's leading, you can't. I can't. Because guess what? When you start leading again, he's not. You took that over. You are now leading, and then you are not submitting to your master. You're not following what his will is. You're doing your own will. And you see, you need to change how you look at yourself. And this is something I had to come to terms with. When you make that decision to be a disciple, be a fisher of men, you'll start changing. You'll be someone that shows up and you go soul winning to becoming someone who is a soul winner. And there's a difference. There is a difference. See, you know, soul winning isn't something that I do. It's who I am. It's who you become. You become that. That's what the Lord wants for you. And see, I go visit my dad on Saturdays after soul winning, and he always asks me, and he goes, hey, you out soul searching today? You got soul searching? He calls it soul searching. And I go, yeah, Dad, I'm out soul searching. I'm out looking. Now, I don't advise you go up to someone's door and go, I'm here for your soul. It might sound a little weird, but isn't that what we're doing? We care about their soul. Their soul, we know where their soul's going because we know the Bible, but they don't. Their soul, that wrath is already there. Some people say, well, I don't get involved in soul winning. I don't want to mess up and send someone to hell. Well, wait a minute. They're already going. If you don't show up, they're going anyways. So you better bring what light you can give them, right? And show up and get involved in this thing because they're already going to hell. That's just the way it is. Okay, but doing that, being a soul winner, a fisher of men, fishing is such a great example of what we're doing. And I think that's why the Lord uses it. I know they fished different back in Bible's times, but if anyone's went fishing today, it's work. I mean, you have to get up early. You have to get bait. You have to have tackle, equipment. You got to have a plan. Where are we going? You got to know where the fish are. People put a lot of effort into going fishing. Do they not? Shouldn't we do the same? Isn't someone in the same? Don't we get maps? Don't we, oh, you're going to go to a location. Don't you have your Bible? Haven't you been praying? Haven't you put something into this? And you say, well, I can't physically go. But you know what? If I can't physically go, if that day comes, you know, I know when the soul winning times are. You know, I'm going to pray. If I'm sick, I'm going to be home praying. You know, oh, you say, well, that's not the same thing. Well, you know what? No, it's part of it. You're getting in the yoke with us, and we need that prayer. We need it. And you say, well, I can't go. Well, then you can do that. You can pray. Don't belittle it. It is so important. Imagine if we had so many people at home praying for the ones that were going out. It would make a difference. Makes a difference. So fishing is that great example. And Deacon Oliver talked about yesterday, you weren't here, you missed it, about, he said, obedience over outcome. Because sometimes we get so wrapped up. If I don't get people saved, I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to go. Got to get people saved. Got to get people saved. That's not what the commandment is. The commandment is to go. The commandment is to preach it. And you leave those results to God. God's the one that will do that, but you need to be ready and you need to be available and you need to go. So number one, becoming a fisher of men, you must reach and teach others. Number two, becoming a fisher of men, you must change direction. Number three, becoming a fisher of men, you must eliminate distractions. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. And going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And notice verse 22, same thing. And they immediately, see that? Immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Didn't waste any time. Jesus says, I want you to follow me. I want you to be a disciple. They immediately left. But see, they were working hard. They weren't even doing nothing sinful. They were being good sons. They were working with their dad. But see, when Jesus showed up, not only am I going to change your direction, I don't want you distracted. I don't want you focused on these things of the earth. Look, Jesus calls them and says, hey, you can't do both. You ever try and do too many things at once and get very little done? You can't do both. You go to Colossians chapter 3. There's nothing wrong with working hard at your job. Actually, we're commanded to work. We're commanded to do those things. Ladies, you're at home, running the household, a lot of hard work, nothing wrong with it. But sometimes I feel as disciples, we get too busy. We can get too busy, and it's not sinful things. We can get really busy doing things with the cares of this world, and then we start forsaking the things of God. We're working all the time. We start forsaking the work of God. Or sometimes you're here and you're not really here. See, for a disciple, for a fisher of men, Jesus must come first. The kingdom must come first. When Jesus was here, he didn't do his own will. He did the Father's will. He was already in that mindset. I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the Father's will. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if you be risen with Christ, it's talking about being saved. And look, he wants saved people, look, to do these things. He wants you to do these things. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affections. What is that? Things that you care about. Affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Pastor was touching on it this morning, balance in the Christian life. Something we all struggle with. It's very difficult sometimes. I'm not talking about balancing your sinful life. I'm talking about things, like I just said, that you should be doing. Sometimes it gets difficult to balance it. You don't have to go here, but Matthew 6, 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, lest he hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, Jesus is very clear. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot do it. And what's mammon? Earthly goods, property, riches, things like that. And see, Jesus knew if his disciples were focused on that, because we see that with Peter a little bit. Peter tells Jesus that at one time, he goes, haven't we left all? We done this? He starts kind of bragging a little bit. We gave up everything. And Jesus is saying, yeah, but I'm going to reward you 100 times over, right? So don't preach to me, Peter, about what you gave up. You're following me. You don't understand the position you're in, the blessings you're going to get. But see, Jesus did not want Peter, Andrew, James, and John to be distracted. Did not want that. Paul said it like this, that this one thing that I do. Paul was laser focused on what his purpose was, why he's left here on this earth. Because he said, I have a desire to depart. I want to go be with Christ. But it was more needful for him to be here because he knew the work that he did was going to be eternal work. Okay, God doesn't want his disciples distracted. He doesn't want us focused on obtaining earthly goods and riches. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. We know there's a lot of people that were severely blessed financially in the Bible. They had a lot of things, but if you look at their character about them, they weren't fixated on it. This is something they worked hard, God blessed them with it, but they weren't fixated on it. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to enjoy the things we have, but don't get fixated. Don't get too attached to the things that are down here. So I ask you, what distractions that you have? Don't answer out loud. But you sitting there right now, because it's different for everyone. What do you have in your life that keeps you from preaching the gospel? What do you have in your life that keeps you from fishing for men? I don't know what they are, but God knows, and you know what they are. I mean, what do you set your affections on? I mean, everyone's affectionate about something. Well, I mean, what do you care about? I know you care about something. Everyone cares about something. Better yet, what are you compassionate about? What are you compassionate about? Jude 22 says, and of some, not all, some have compassion, making a difference. See, you can't go far without reading the New Testament. Jesus constantly said, I have compassion. I have compassion. I have compassion on the multitude. Our Lord had compassion on the lost. The Lord has compassion. Compassion makes the difference. It does. See, your faith, the faith that you have to get saved, that's great. I'm glad you're saved. And you say, I have faith. But how is your faith profiting others? Pastor was talking about this morning. How can I help you? Right? How can I help? What is your faith doing? Right? If you come in and you say, I have faith. I'm here on a Sunday night. I'm sitting in a Baptist church. I have faith. But in James 2, he's saying, what does it profit? What good is it if you sit there and don't do anything? What does it profit anybody? How are you helping anybody? What good is it to learn the Bible and know the Bible if you're not preaching it to someone? You're not sharing it with someone. You know, who are you helping? I mean, who are you going to see in heaven that's going to say, hey, I'm so glad you knocked on my door. I'm so glad you took the time to talk to me at the store. I'm so glad you took the time that you cared. You cared. At your funeral, who's going to say you were a blessing? Oh, he was a blessing. He did this for me. He cared about me. He texted me. He called me. Who? Do you have anyone? And if not, it's time to start now. It's time to start caring about people and start focusing on God's kingdom. Start caring what God cares about. Because you know, when it's all said and done, everything else is going to burn up. Everything else is going to burn up. And the time you spent fishing for men, no one, when you get to heaven, you're not going to say, man, I wish I didn't do that. It'll be the exact opposite. Because you could literally, if you were able, you could spend every day of your life going out and knocking doors, and it still wouldn't be enough. It still wouldn't be enough. Every one of us are going to say, man, I wish I would have just stayed out a little longer. I wish I would have did more. And I don't know where this came from. I got 3 F's in my life as a disciple. Okay, it's in the note. It probably came from pastor because it's alliterated. It's follow, fish, forsake. If you remember anything else from the sermon, follow, fish, forsake. So follow, what is that? It's choosing to be a disciple, a student. You know, you're going to be, like, remember that story of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet? And Martha was all distracted, just all freaked out about serving, right? And then Mary's just sitting there, taking it all in. That's what he wants. That's what Jesus wants from his disciples. Sit there and learn what I need to teach you. And when the man of God gets up on here, and you need to be here, first of all, to hear it, he wants you to take it in and not just take it. Take it in and do it, and then teach it to others. Don't let just keep it with yourself. That's being a student. That's being a disciple. Being in church, Bible reading and Bible study, not just reading, studying it, knowing what the Bible says. Prayer. Okay, what's the other one? Fishing, right? Soul winning. Not just the soul winning times, but your personal soul winning. There's people that you run into that we're not going to knock on your door. There's people I have where I live in Vacaville. You guys aren't going to knock on their door. I when I come across there, I need to talk to them. I need to be the one. And you have it. You have jobs. You have places, people you interact with, family members. You need to be the one. And you need to be praying that the ones you want saved. I pray all the time. When I see that prayer list and someone says, hey, get my father saved. I want my son saved. I want someone saved. You know, I go, Lord, I pray that prayer. I say, you send a soul winner. You send someone, Lord, because someone's praying that that person gets saved. Send someone. And you don't think God wants to do that? But we're going to see at the end, God wants to do a lot of things. But we're the problem. We're going to see that at the end. We're the problem. So look, and the last one, forsaking. Removing the things in my life that keep me from following and fishing. What are they? My job. My job can do it. You can get addicted to working. Working is a good thing. But when you start saying, well, you know, I can miss this. I don't have to be a church. I don't have to. You start going down this path, right? And it starts, and the devil's really good about it. It gets you small. And pretty soon, next thing you know, if you kept track of your church attendance, you're like, really? I was only there like two times last month. So that's the goal. Well, because we're not going to hell if we're saved. You're a disciple. His goal is to get you distracted so you don't do anything, that you're not effective. That's what he wants. Entertainment. You know, we all need to have fun. We all need to relax, right? But don't let that start pulling you away from the work. Don't let that, right? Hobbies. Make sure before you start a hobby or something, is this going to cut into my following and fishing? Nothing wrong with hobbies, but be careful. Maybe you take too many on, and then that becomes your God. That becomes what's important to you, right? Don't let that happen to you. You got to intentionally be watching. Because look, if I'm following, I'm fishing. And if I'm spending my time fishing, I'm forsaking something else. It's just the way it goes. I can't be here right now and be somewhere else. I'm here, all right? But what if I made a choice not to be here? I'd be forsaking this and doing something else. So number one, becoming a fisher of men, you must reach and teach others. Number two, becoming a fisher of men, you must change direction. Number three, becoming a fisher of men, you must eliminate distractions. Proverbs 14:25, you don't have to turn there. A true witness delivers souls. That's what we want. We want to deliver souls. But a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It's a wise thing for you and I to spend our time soul winning, fishing for men. Because don't you want to win souls for Christ? For his kingdom? Isn't everything about God? You know, heaven's about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. We're adopted into that. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. And if you're saved here tonight, you know, I pray, this is my prayer for you, that you would not only be on your way to heaven, and you not only come to a church like Verity, that is a soul-winning church, that you don't just come to a soul-winning church, that you get involved in the soul-winning church, and you start becoming a fisher of men, you start learning how to fish for men, and you make a difference right now wherever you're at in your Christian life. You say, I don't know how to fish. No one ever taught me. You know what? Someone fished you. Someone fished you. So you have that foundation. You might not know how to give a clear presentation, and you say, I don't know how to do it. But you know what? Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Last place I'll have you turn. Matthew chapter 9. But you know what? God has brought you to a church like this. He brought you to a church like this, and this church can help you with that. If any other church can help you, this one can. You have a pastor. You have a pastor's wife. They have the experience. They have the dedication. They have the enthusiasm. They will help you. They will help you. You have a deacon. You have a deacon's wife. They will help you. You have staff. The staff's wife. You have so much. You have so many brothers and sisters here who will help you. You have no excuse if you come to this church and you don't get involved in the soul winning program. You know, because you're sitting in a soul winning church. Did I say that? Because you know what? There's people all around this country, this world would give anything to sit in this church, to be under this preaching, to have the organization of the soul winning that's in this church, and you have it, and you don't take advantage of it. You're wasting it. You're wasting it. And when I don't show up, guess what? I'm wasting it. And see, something else. You know what? Disciples, if you consider yourself a disciple, I mean, is reading the Word of God, is it really that difficult? I mean, really, is it? You know, it's not an option. It's not a choice you get to make. If you chose to be a disciple, it's you're going to read the Word of God. Because you know what? You will never have compassion. Listen, you will never have compassion to win souls. You know why some of you don't go soul winning? Because you don't read God's Word. You don't get that burden in your heart. That's where that compassion comes from. I'm great. I'm glad the Spirit's in there. But the Spirit needs God's Word. And it needs to get in you. It's not an option. It's not an optional thing if you say, I'm going to be a disciple. And you will never have compassion unless you do. You know, my soul winning story, I got saved. I was an independent, King James only, fundamental Baptist church. You know, I didn't go soul winning for like a year. You know why? Because I showed up. I became three of the thrive, but I had no desire. I had no desire to go out and preach the gospel. You know why? Because I didn't read it. I wasn't reading it. And you think getting preaching three times a week is gonna get you fired up to change your direction? It's not gonna happen. It's something that you have to make the choice to do. You're saying, if I'm gonna have that compassion, I'm gonna have to read the Word of God. There's just no other way it's gonna happen. And you're in the church, you're in the perfect place to get you fired up to do that. Amen. To become a fisher of men, become a soul winner, to have compassion. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Matthew 9, verse 37. Then saith he unto who? Who's he talking to? His disciples. The harvest truly is plenteous. What is that? That's people out in this community, this state, this nation, all over the world that want to hear the gospel. They're waiting. Jesus says they're waiting. I just need somebody. I'm not here. I went back to heaven. Now I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. They're just waiting. They're waiting there to be saved. The harvest truly is plenteous. But look, it was a problem back in Jesus' time. It's a problem today. But the laborers are few. Laborers are few. Pray ye therefore. It's the Lord's prayer. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So get involved. I'm going to leave you with encouragement. If you've never been soul winning, show up to a soul winning time. Just come one time. I'm not talking about committing. I'm not talking about selling out, saying I'm going to be a soul winner, that I'm going to go from just going soul winning to becoming someone that is a soul winner. I'm talking, show up one time. Show up one time and say, I'm going to just be a silent partner. I'm going to go out and just see what this thing's about. Just show up one time. And then you that are faithful, you that consider yourself disciples, you that are fisher for men, you know what? Step it up. People that you have in your life that don't get in this mode, because I tend to do it too. When I'm here with you guys, I got my brother with me, we're going out preaching the gospel, I'm all about it. But will I take time to stop some money and talk to them about the gospel? Will I take time to talk to family members? You need to step up your personal soul winning. Step it up, because those people, everyone's going to die, and we know it. Did you at least try? Step it up, because time's limited. But show up to soul winning times. Learn to become a fisher of men. Learn it. If you want to be a disciple, Jesus says, you're going to follow me, you will fish for men. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I do thank you for allowing us to be partakers of men's souls, Lord, going out, that you send us out to fish for men, that you given us the ministry of reconciliation, Lord. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice tonight that would get serious about soul winning. If they're already serious, already consider themselves a disciple, fisher of men, that they would continue on and rev it up and get more excited while we have the time to do it. And if someone here has never been soul winning, Lord, I pray you would press in their heart to show up and get involved in this thing, that there wouldn't be few going out. There'd be many. Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.